Praise the Lord, family, and thank you for joining us again at the Gift of Life Show. I'm going to dive right on into it. I'm doing a series or episodes on the reality of sin, and this is part three. And I want to just take a moment and say thank you to all our friends and family. I know many of you are praying for our youngest son and his wife. They're going through some difficult times right now, but they're on the recovery road. And we just want to say thank you for all your prayers and just thank you for your love and support and all different various ways that you've shown that. So God bless you. We sure need each other, don't we, in times like these, huh? Praise God. Well, let me get on into it. Now, I've been working on talking about defining what sin is, the reality of sin, because just changing the label and redefining sin doesn't change the consequences at all, okay? We got to deal with it and call it what it is. And I talked about that we're all born in sin. We define what sin was. And we even talked about, is God being fair by judging us for being born in sin when we had nothing to do with that? And so I went in a little more detail on that in part two. Now, this time I'm going to go ahead and get into what does the Bible say about lawlessness? Because that's really what sin is. Sin is violating God's law or violating any law. You sin, you trespass, you go beyond the boundaries of what is absolutely stated as a fact and what is true. Well, you've gone beyond that. You don't believe that, and you're doing your own thing. But really behind all that, that's the devil deceiving you with his lying words that turn into thoughts in our mind. And then if you believe them and act on them, then you have become his pawn, basically. So we want to not allow him to do that when we have the power to choose life or death, according to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9. Hallelujah. We're not puppets on anybody's string. We have the ability to think, to choose, and to decide what it is we are going to believe. And Jesus already said it in the scriptures that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so that's what we're about, is truth. And we believe that God is the creator of all, sustainer of life, manager of all time, and no one supersedes him, and the only way you can get to him is through his son. So bottom line, if you're going to follow anybody, if you want to live out your life, follow your creator. And so this is what I'm about, is teaching what the word of God says based off of what the word of God says, okay? So this is no religion. This is not another bandwagon thing. This is about the word of God. Jesus Christ being the only way to God, God the Father. The Holy Spirit is the power that empowers us, the Holy Spirit. And we do have angels, ministering angels around about us to protect us. So, but we have to do our part. The garden is already set. The soil is there. We got the tools. We got the seeds. We just got to work it. We got to work that ground, because as long as we're on this side of glory, weeds and toxic thoughts will grow on the outside and on the inside of our thoughts, inside of our brain, which is the source of Satan and sin. So they want us to break God's law. So let's talk about that. To be lawless is to be contrary to the law of God or act without regards to a law. Laws are necessary in a sinful world. 1 Timothy 1:9. And those who choose to act lawlessly further sin in this world. The word for lawlessness in the Bible is often translated iniquity, okay? According to the Bible, the root of all lawlessness is rebellion or pride, okay? You can look at 2 Timothy or 2 Thessalonians 2:3. But in 1 John 3:4, it defines sin as lawlessness. Now remember, we talked in earlier episodes that the root of sin is pride, and it came from the source, Satan, who was once Lucifer, a holy angel, but pride was found within him. And so pride results in rebellion, okay, and lawlessness. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. To commit sin is to be lawless. That is, the sinner breaks God's law. In this way, lawlessness is a rejection of God. Satan, who modeled this ultimate rejection of God, will one day empower the Antichrist, and he is called the Lawless One, who rises into power and will be in accordance with how Satan works. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:9. You don't want to be there at that time, okay? Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior now. Admit that you have sinned against God and you're sorry about your sins and that you need Him in your life. Or get my book. I have a prayer on page 25. Do you see what I see? That has a simple little prayer, a salvation prayer that's admitting that you are a sinner. You can't be right with God. You have sinned against Him and other people, and you want to change your life. But you know you can't without Him. So you receive His Son, His provision, who was your substitutionary atonement for your sins. And you just say thank you. But you got to mean it from your heart. It's not just something you're just saying and then you go out and keep on sinning. You know, it doesn't mean that you won't sin, but that's not the bent that you will be pursuing, okay? You're going to pursue like a baby pursues milk. You're going to pursue the sincere word of God and hang around people that do the same thing. So, okay, so lawlessness is contrasted with righteousness. In verses such as Romans 6:19, 2 Corinthians 6:14, and Hebrews 1:9, the righteous who have the nature of Jesus Christ. See, there's none righteous, no, not one. That's what the scriptures say. But when you receive Jesus, God imputes, He implants His righteousness in us. And it comes in a form of a seed, the incorruptible seed in 1 Peter 1:23. But that seed has to grow to be manifested in your physical realm. And the way it grows is by the word of God. Realizing who you are in your position in Christ, leaning and learning about the Holy Spirit, the second P power, and then performing from that platform. Performing as a victorious person in Christ. Then you'll always be in the presence and awareness of God. That's what my book is based off of, those four P's. So those who have the nature of Jesus Christ in them, they hate sin. They really do. Doesn't mean that they won't sin, but they don't pursue sinning. They don't pursue breaking God's law. The deeds of lawlessness they hate. Here's two people for an example. Lot. He was a godly man. Remember Lot and Solomon and Gomorrah in the Old Testament in Genesis? He was a godly man. Okay? He wasn't perfect, but he was godly. He was bent towards God. He was predominantly motivated by God. But he moved into Solomon and Gomorrah. But in that city, in that culture, he was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds that he saw and that he heard. And you can read that in 2 Peter 2:8. Okay, another person that I love is in Romans 7:12. Let me read that. Apostle Paul, he hated it when he sinned. Listen to what he said right here in verses, I'll just read one. Let me find it here. There it is. Verse 15. He says, for what I'm doing. Now, this is the great Apostle Paul. He wasn't perfect. He sinned too. We all sin every day. Because see, the requirement for not sinning is to be perfect 100%, period. And none of us can. So even with our new nature, we still sin. That's why we got to still deal with these toxic thoughts. But our sins aren't held against us because of what Jesus did. He took the penalty for our sins. But just because we don't have to pay the penalty for our sins, but we do with the consequences if we keep on sinning, then that doesn't mean we just keep on sinning. No, that means we're thankful for what God has done. That's what Romans 6 is all about. What should I say then? Should I continue to sin that grace may abound? No, no, no. Why would you want to keep on sinning when you say that you're born again? That doesn't make sense. So either you're not born again or you're a born again ignorant person not understanding how to grow in the knowledge of God. And this is what I'm all about, teaching you how to let Christ be formed in you so you will sin less, decrease in your ways of thinking, and increase in God's ways of thinking. So he says, for what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, look at that. What I hate, that I do. He hated it when he didn't please God the way he knew that he should please God. So Lot hated and was tormented by people around him and probably his own self at times for the different things that he did that was wrong. And so did Paul. And then the psalmist David, he says, I abhor, or you could say hate, the assembly of the evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. Wow. Psalms 26:5. Christians are supposed to be believers, born again believers are supposed to be law abiding citizens. 1 Peter 4:15. And the way we fulfill the law is not in our strength, not by any self righteousness that we have done, not by self effort, but by depending and leaning and learning on the Holy Spirit. That's where it's at. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's so easy when you really make up your mind to wax on and wax off. Basically, renew your mind about your identity in Christ, about the power and your spiritual gifts that you have in Christ. See, all while you're doing that, memorizing and meditating and mouthing that and studying with other people, you are walking in the Spirit. And then when you go out in front of your family, your friends, or even your enemies, that is going to be what's going to be performing through you. And you will know it, because you'll be doing what it says in Philippians 2:12-13. For it is God who is working in you to do his good pleasure. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that's working in you. So you got to work it out. You got to work out what he put in. You got to de-weed. You got to wax off. You got to pluck up. You got to pull out. You got to pull out those weeds, those toxic thoughts, those old memories that are keeping you in bondage. You got to do it. God's not going to do it. He already gave you the power and ability to do it. Now we have to do it. That's what that Philippians 2:12-13 is all about. So, but when a society ignores God's laws, tries to change the labels, lawlessness results and chaos just gets worse and worse and worse. The time of the judges after Joshua's death was marked in upheaval and oppression and general, disorder. The biblical historians put their fingers on the reason for this turmoil. It says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did what they saw fit. See that? That's Judges 21:25. Doesn't that sound like today in our society? Everybody's going to do their own thing. They're going to call it what they want. Hey, if they want to be gay, I can be gay. If I want to be a murderer, I can be a murderer. If I want to, whatever I want to do, everything's relative. Whatever I think is right. I have all these different religions and I'll say mine's right, yours is wrong. See, that's Satan behind all that. But that's what was happening in the book of Judges. Read it. In the book of Judges, it was just a continual cycle. They started out knowing God, and then they decided to rebel against God, and then they found themselves in bondage, and then they cried out to God, and then God delivered them, raised up a judge. And as soon as they got delivered and experienced a little bit of peace, they rebelled against God again, and then the consequences of their sins came upon them through other nations attacking them and defeating them. Then they cried out to God again, and then God delivered them again, which is one judge after another. So, brothers and sisters, that's just double-minded. That's that cycle of double-mindedness. You know people, when they get caught in a real bad situation, they don't go to church, don't do anything, and they get in a bad situation, and then they cry out to God. I mean, just think about it, our 911 situation that we have with the Twin Towers. Everywhere you can see, everywhere, God's with us. Help us, God. Oh, God. God's name was all over the place. So where people wouldn't even call on God before that. But so you don't want to be like that. I don't believe that's a real Christian, a believer that does that. You know, believers learn from their mistakes, and they use those mistakes, those sins, to help others so they don't repeat them either. So, and that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit through your gifting. So just ignoring it and calling it something else and just, you know, not dealing with it doesn't solve the problem. It just comes back on you. Also, too, in Ephesus, you know, in our Wednesday night classes, we're deep in the book of Ephesians and memorizing scriptures to prayers. But we also keep it in the context, because in Ephesians, in Ephesus, where Paul was, there was a riot. He had read Acts 19. There was a riot going on because Paul was confronting lawlessness. He was confronting idolatry. He was confronting people that were worshiping false gods and ignoring God's way. And because of that, a riot broke out. And what's so sad about it, these people were attacking Paul and having a fit. And it says in the one verse, I believe it's in 39, it says that they were so crazy and being goofy that they didn't even know what they were arguing about. They didn't know what the riot was about. Everybody was just joining the bandwagon. And this little tiny church that Paul had had started and or actually, you know, facilitated and getting it going and stuff. They were trying their best. He was trying to help them to hold on to who they were in Christ Jesus. So lawlessness breeds content and riots, and everybody's just out there doing their own thing. So laws are important. It's important to understand the right mindset of the laws. Now, we can't keep God's laws in our flesh, in our own ways. But in Christ Jesus, we can, okay? God has a purpose for establishing human government and laws to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. That's 1 Peter 2:14. Rulers are God's appointees to maintain order and promote righteousness in our society. And it's the same thing in our family. You know, God has given us an order in our family with the mother and the dad and the father and the children. You know, same thing in the family. Same thing with individuals. You are not, if you are single, you are not the boss of your life. God is if you're a believer. And the same thing in school. There's an order of structure in schools and or universities. You have your teachers, professors, and then you're the student, you know, and the same thing in government. So God has established an order of how things are to work. But when you want to rebel against it, like Satan or Lucifer did, then chaos happens. So God has ordained, it says in Romans 13:2, he's ordained us to have laws established. The Bible connects man's lawlessness and rebellion against God with his need for God's forgiveness. Romans 4:7. So when we rebel against our parents, against our boss, against some political leader, when we complain and argue against one another, and when we argue against church leadership, and we fuss and fight in church, we're really rebelling against God. We really are. You allow that spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of Satan, to trick you, to get you to believe their lies, and become his puppet, basically. And he loves that. He loves that, especially in the church. He wants the church to always be fighting together, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know that if you're a believer, we are to love one another. We're to encourage one another. We're to have joy and peace, and we're to be able to give out to the world what God has given us. And when the world sees who we are, that we love one another, they'll know that we love God. So, brothers and sisters, we need to really check and see if we're in line with God's righteous requirements. Paul quotes in Psalms 32:1, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered." God's righteousness is imputed, I said that earlier, imputed to anybody that receives Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. He imputes this righteousness, this perfection at salvation, and God forgives all your lawless deeds as far as the east is the west. So see, when God, that's why I wear my seal around my neck. It reminds me of 1 Peter 1:3 and 23, and a lot of verses. Romans 6, it reminds me of 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Galatians 2:20, that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this human fleshly body, it's not me anymore, it's Christ. And the more I understand that I'm motivated by his love, that's what Galatians 2:20 says, I don't know how to express it. I just have this grateful attitude. I'm just so thankful that I can bless his name for what he's done. Because I really do. I want to bless him with my lips, bless him with my behavior, bless him with my heart and my soul. I just want to bless be the name of the Lord, because he is worthy to be praised for all that he's done that he didn't have to do. See, none of us deserve to know God. We deserve to go to hell and spend all eternity from him. And I explain about why that was according to Romans 5:12 in the second segment, that, you know, people questioning God's not fair. I was born in sin. He's going to punish me for something that I didn't have anything to do with. Well, I explain how that worked. Okay, but he didn't leave us like that. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So God's righteousness, his perfection, is imputed to us at salvation, and then God forgives our sin. And this is so beautiful. This is all part of Jeremiah 31:34, and in Ezekiel 36, the new covenant. See, there's a new covenant. We don't live in the old covenant. We live in a new covenant where the Jews and Gentiles become one new body when you're in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I just love that. I just think that's beautiful. Christ died on the cross to redeem us from the lawlessness and to purify himself of people for his own possession who are zealous to do good works. See? Good works. Not fleshly works. Godly works. Okay? And the way you find out what that is, you have to know your spiritual gifts. Yeah. Titus 2:14. Our lawless deeds result in Christ's death, but God's grace overcomes our lawless heart. Because he gave us a brand new heart. Isn't that beautiful? Now, heart, I mean a brand new spirit. A brand new power. A brand new you. See, you're not the same person you were before if you're a believer. There's a new you in there that needs to grow. And I wrote a poem in my book titled Mirror, Mirror. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Page 130, something here. Here it is. Let me just read it real quick. This is what really opened my eyes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. And here it says, mirror, mirror in my hand, this face I see is not who I am. Deep inside beneath my skin, I'm born again, alive in him. Oh, praise the Lord. Wanting more of you to give, help me, Lord, to really live. I submit to you in every way. My selfish will must die each day. Take control as I gaze at you. Transform my heart. I love you. Mirror, mirror in my hand, I speak to who I really am. Isn't that beautiful? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So see, I believe believers, Christians, that name the name of Christ, need to discover more who they are in Christ. I think we need to go back to the basics. Like in Ephesians, we need to go back, or back in Revelation when it said to the church at Ephesus, come back to your first love. We need to go back to when we were first born again and dig deeper in that revelation and that truth about who we become as a born-again believer. Hallelujah. So, in the judgment, many will stand. Now, this is sad, but it's true. In the last days, in the judgment time, the judgment seat of Christ, and the great white throne. In the judgment, many are going to stand before Christ and they're going to claim that they know him. They're going to claim that they're connected with him and that they know him and that, you know, they've done all these things. But see, they're going to do that only in their mind, only the way that they perceived it, only the way they believed it. Because they're going to rehearse to God and to Christ all their good deeds that they've done. They're going to say, I did this, I did that, I didn't do this, I. And they're going to rehearse all that in his name. But the sad part of it, they're only going to hear Jesus say and declare to them, you workers of lawlessness. He says, I never knew you because you never received me. Remember the tax collector and the Pharisee and Luke? How he thought he had it going on, Luke 18, and he said, he came to church, the tax collector said, hey, I'm glad I'm not like that, that Pharisee said, I'm glad I'm not like that tax collector, he's a scum bum, but look at me, I do this, I do that, and Jesus said that man went away, unsaved basically, but the tax collector who humbled himself and cried out for mercy and said he wouldn't even look up at God, wouldn't even look up. He says, have mercy on me. That man went away saved because he called on the name of the Lord. The Lord imputed into that man his righteousness because he recognized that he had none. Brothers and sisters, I know hell is too long to be wrong. And I don't want you to be standing at that last day, on that judgment day, thinking you're going to glory and you're not. Matthew 7:23, read that. And at that time, those who practice lawlessness will be cast into the blazing furnace, while those who are covered by the blood and the righteousness of Christ will shine like the sun. Matthew 13:41-43. Christ will have the ultimate victory and will eliminate lawlessness forever. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And it is he. Only he, not your works, not by any works which you have done. You should see that in Thessalonians chapter 3. See if I have enough time to read that. In Titus 3, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done but by him right here. He says, oh dear, I got a new Bible here, so I'm running out of time. I hope I can find it. But if I don't, you get it. Go to Titus chapter 3. Let's see if I'm going to get there. Titus chapter 3. My pages are stuck together. Here it is. It says right here, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Get right with God. Love you.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Ooh, blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Here we go.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes, suffering, though there's pain.